Let's open up our Bibles tonight to the book of Hebrews, again, to chapter number 12. Hebrews chapter number 12 this evening. I would like to speak to you tonight about the road ahead. We've been studying Hebrews chapter 12 the last three Sunday mornings. A message I call 2020 Vision, 10 things that we need to see with spiritual 2020 vision if we want to make the right choices and decisions and run the race in the right way in the present so that we can be ready for what lies ahead of us. Well, tonight I would like to continue with some of those thoughts, but specifically tonight we're focusing on the road ahead for our church, so for our church family together, and specifically for the year of 2020, this year that we're just starting into. Each year about this time, I like to share some thoughts. I'm not a big proponent of five-year plans and 10-year plans and things like that. In ministry, I think a lot of times that tends to be presumptive. But I do want to share some burdens God's laid upon my heart for the coming year. Many of them do center around the preaching and teaching of His Word, which is something that I've been learning as a pastor, is typically how God leads His people, leads His congregation through the ministry of the Word. And so I want to share some of those things with you this evening. Now, if you remember back to 2019 at this time, boy, that seems like it was a long time ago, doesn't it? If you remember back then, last year's direction was towards strengthening our foundation. That was our theme for last year. And it was an emphasis on foundational discipleship. We had a significant emphasis in 2019 on foundations, particularly in our Sunday morning series from the book of Genesis. Well, this year, that emphasis and that Sunday morning series will continue into the new year, but I have some new thoughts to share with you as well. Our theme verse last year, Psalm 119:160, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." God has given us a solid foundation, and it is true from the beginning, from the very first word. And that's what we've been emphasizing and preaching in our church over this last year, emphasizing the truth that's found at the very beginning of God's Word, the foundational book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. Well, as we turn our attention to the road ahead, I would like this to be our theme for the coming year, taken from Hebrews chapter 12, "Running with patience, the race that is set before us." The theme verse that would go with that, obviously, would be Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. "Wherefore, seeing also we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." I've been preaching through Hebrews 12, as I mentioned, these last few Sundays, and making individual applications. Tonight I have a few applications from this chapter for our whole church family. And so as we consider this race that is set before us, I'd like to consider three truths about the race tonight from Hebrews 12. First of all, it is a race that requires faith. You have to have faith to run well. And really, that's what this race is all about. It's a race of faith. Would you look at verses 1 and 2 again? Look at verse 2. Notice it says that this race was both authored and finished by the Lord Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Now, first and foremost, that word faith there is talking about the faith. Okay, the faith of the saints, the faith of Jesus Christ. It is that body of truth that is built upon the one and only solid foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That body of truth that is contained in His Word. That is the faith, but we have to have faith in the faith, you see. And that's very important. The Lord Jesus has blazed the trail. He showed us the way. He accomplished our salvation. He authored our gospel. He completed that work. And He is enabling believers now to run after Him all the way home to heaven. So He's the author and finisher of our faith. It starts with faith, the faith, of God's Word on the foundation of Jesus Christ, but also then the race is run with faith as well. It's run by looking to Jesus. Look again at verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. And that, my friend, is a focus of faith. It takes faith to keep your eyes upon Jesus. You have to have the faith to say, I am going to look at Him. I'm not going to look at the circumstances. I'm not going to look at my feelings. I'm going to look at the Lord Jesus Christ and what He has revealed to me about Himself and His Word. And I'm going to build my foundation upon His truth and cling to Him no matter what comes my way in the race of life. So it is practically run by faith, by looking to Jesus at every moment. But also our race is motivated by seeing the unseen. Look again at verse number 1. He says, wherefore, what's that next word? Seeing. Seeing what? Seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Can you see them tonight? Now, you can't see them with your eyes of sight. But we are motivated to run this race of faith by seeing those things that are unseen, and the way you see those unseen things is with eyes of faith. As Hebrews 11 tells us, it is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And this is so important for running the race that God has put in front of us, okay? So we have to choose to believe what God has said, even though we cannot necessarily see it with our physical eyesight, even though we can't necessarily touch it with our physical hands. We hear about that heavenly city. We know all about the judgment seat of Christ, and yet those things are not necessarily hard and fast realities at the moment. We can't see them necessarily, but God says we need to see them so that we can run our race the right way. You know, sometimes when I'm counseling with folks who are discouraged and they're struggling, it's not that they don't know what God has promised. But sometimes in that moment, it can be difficult to grab a hold of that promise for yourself. That's what we're talking about here. God has given us the faith, okay? But we have to latch on to it. We have to appropriate it. We have to say, yes, that's what I believe, even if it goes against all my feelings in this moment, even though I may not understand what God is doing, I am going to see the unseen things and I'm going to run the race of faith. So you got to have faith. Secondly, it is a race that requires holiness. Would you look at verse number 14? Very important verse in the chapter. It says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Whoa, so this race requires holiness. If you don't have it, you're not going to see the Lord. Well, what is that talking about? I've described this verse already in my Sunday morning series, but let's just talk about holiness for a moment in general. What does the word holiness refer to? It refers to being sanctified or set apart. And that aspect of being set apart, it has two sides of the one coin of sanctification or being holy. We are set apart from some things, and we're set apart to something else. All right, so we are set apart from, what are we supposed to separate ourselves from? From sin, okay, and from this world, worldliness, and the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, all that stuff that is of the world, and the flesh and the devil. Those are the things that we are to be sanctified or separated away from. And then we are separated to, we are sanctified, made holy to God Himself, to belong exclusively to Him. That's what holiness is all about. Now, when you get saved, guess what? When you get saved, you belong 100% to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's a fact, okay? Because when He washes you with the blood of Jesus and washes away your sins and clothes you in His righteousness and He justifies you, He declares you to be righteous in His sight, you at that moment are made holy in the sense that you now belong to God. That's why believers are called saints. Saints means holy ones. It's not some super Christian. It means that you are now God's own precious, purchased possession. However, that reality, which is an invisible reality, at least to some degree, is supposed to become visible in our lives as believers. And that's called practical sanctification, practical holiness, where the Holy Spirit who lives within and who has created a new man that is created in righteousness and true holiness can begin to show out in our lives, in our choices, our actions, the words that we say or that we don't say. And so, first of all, we need personal practical holiness, which is a fruit of God's own work in our lives. There's not a single person here who can make himself or herself holy. But we can certainly cooperate with that work of God within. And so, we need that kind of holiness. Would you notice also that this race produces holiness in our lives? Look back at verse 10 of this chapter. It says, "For they," that is our earthly fathers, "verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But He," our Heavenly Father, "for our profit," He allows us to be chastened, okay, to get a spanking if we need a spanking, to go through difficulties if we need to go through difficulties. Why? "That we might be partakers of His holiness." So the race itself, running the race of faith that God has set before us, that is meant to produce holiness in our lives. And then the third thing I want you to see about this race is that it's all about the person of holiness. Would you look at the end of the chapter? It says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom that which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." Our God is a holy God. Our God does not tolerate sin. And I was talking about that this morning, about how when the law was given at Mount Sinai, God made it very clear to His people in the way He revealed Himself on Sinai that He is a holy God and that sinful people cannot approach Him, else they be consumed. And so where are we headed in this race? We are headed to where God is. We're going to a place that's more holy than Mount Sinai. We're going to the New Jerusalem. And there's no sin there. There's no worldliness and deviltry and all of that junk and filth of this present world in which we're living right now. None of that can get into the heavenly city. So the race that we're running is a race that requires holiness. It produces holiness. It's all about the person of holiness. God has put us in this race so that we can be like Him, holy. You know, those decisions of sanctification, I mean, if I just make this practical, okay? So being holy does involve decisions that we make in the day-to-day. Am I going to participate in a certain activity? Or is that something that my holy Heavenly Father would not be pleased with, something that would not be appropriate for me as a born-again child of God? And so we make decisions to do things or not do things or participate in certain things or be a part of something or maybe to separate from something. And God in His Word gives us clear commands and principles to guide us in this practical aspect of being holy. But those decisions of sanctification and holiness are not necessarily easy to make. Because a lot of times, what God is calling us to distance ourselves from may be something that we really like. And yet God is calling us to belong only to Himself. But those decisions, even though they're not easy, they're critically important for running the race. Because we're not running after the world. The race that Jesus authored for us, it does not follow the world. It is not a race of conforming ourselves to the world and doing what the world does and enjoying all the sinful pleasures that the world enjoys. It is a race of going a different direction, following Jesus to another world. So it requires holiness. And that holiness is both individual holiness, but also there is a call for corporate holiness among His people as well. God wants us to be a holy church, set apart to Him, so that we can enjoy those blessings of a close relationship with our holy Heavenly Father. So it's a race that requires faith, it requires holiness, and third, it requires strength. Oh, we're going to have strength for this race. Strength to endure to the end, right? It says, verse 1, let us run with patience, with endurance, the race that is set before us. You've got to have strength to endure that agony of a race that God has put us into. You're going to have strength in order to have victory over sin. He says, lay aside the sin which easily besets us. You're going to have some strength to say, no, that sin isn't pleasing God. I'm going to get it out of my life, and I need God to help me with that to win the victory. We're going to need strength to face persecution. Look at verse 3. He says, consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted in the blood, striving against sin. He says, don't be wearied. Don't faint in your minds when you're having to endure persecution or the opposition of sinful people. You're going to have strength to face persecution. We'll have to have strength to overcome testing. Look at verse 12. He says to those who are being tested in the race, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Got to have the strength to get back in the race and not to be sidelined because of the adversity, the testings. We're going to have strength to see victories in the lives of other people. Look at verse 15. He says, looking diligently. What are we supposed to be looking for? Lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Where are we supposed to be looking for these dangers? Well, yes, we should be looking in our own hearts and at our own lives to make sure that we are not failing in the grace of God, to make sure that we are not growing a root of bitterness in our own hearts. But also, we're supposed to be looking at others. Look diligently, lest any person among you, that's the idea, fail of God's grace. You know, there's times when people are burdened for others who have spiritual needs, people who aren't saved, people are resisting the gospel, people who are in danger of literally not obtaining the grace of God and going to hell. We have to have strength to see victories won in those people's lives. Strength to see people delivered from a root of bitterness. Strength for those wins amongst the people of God, the corporate body of Christ. And then we also have to have strength to serve God acceptably. Look at verse number 28. He says, wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Does it take strength to serve God? Yes, it does. So where does all this strength come from that we need? Well, verse number 28 gives us the answer, doesn't it? Let us have grace. It is God's grace that makes His strength in our lives perfect in our weakness. It is His grace that enables us to do those things that He wants us to do. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Our strength comes from the grace of God. If you're trying to run the race of faith in your own strength, you're gonna fall down and hit your nose sooner or later. You're going to have to run in the strength of God. We need lots of God's grace. And in our lives individually, we need lots of God's grace. In our lives together as a church body, we need the grace of God to permeate this place and this body of Christ. And so how do we get that grace? I mean, God, we've studied it already. God has all the grace. He has all the help. He has all the blessings. He has all the resources. He has everything we need. How do we get it? Well, one way is by effectual, fervent prayer. That's one way we get God's grace. That's one way we get the strength that we need to run the race. And so that brings me to three emphases for our church in 2020 and beyond. Okay, basing on these three principles from Hebrews 12. Number one, we need to continue foundational discipleship. That's the faith part. We need to keep working to ground people's faith in the faith. And that is a very important work. And that was, as I mentioned a moment ago, that was really our focus for last year. But that focus needs to continue. It's critically important that people know God's word, they know what they believe, and they know that they believe it. Secondly, we will need to pursue holiness. Can't really say we're running the race with patience if we're not pursuing holiness. And third, we will need to find greater power from prayer. As a church family, if we want God's greater grace, if we want His greater strength, then we will have to find those things through greater prayer. Corporately, together. And then one more thing, all three of these things we're going to need to do as we seek to carry out the Great Commission to the end of the age, because that's the work that God has given us to do. That's the context, all right? We can never lose sight of the Great Commission. That's the instructions that God left us. So we always are focusing on evangelism and edification, those two aspects of the Great Commission. But folks, the only way that this church, Calvary Baptist Church, will be faithful to the Great Commission until the end of the age when Jesus comes is that if individual believers in this church are keeping their eyes on Jesus and they are running their races with patience and finishing strong. So, four areas I'd like to focus on for our church family in the days ahead. Number one, pursuing foundational discipleship. Two ways that we're going to seek to do that this coming year. First of all, by continuing our Sunday morning series from Genesis. I've so far made it through chapter 2, and it's my goal to make it through chapter 11 by the end of the year. And I think I can do it, okay? Because I am going to pick up my rate of speed as we move into some of those other chapters. Those first three chapters especially, very, very foundational, important. So we've taken a lot of time there. And then secondly, one other way we want to pursue foundational discipleship, and I shared this burden with our church a few weeks ago on a Sunday night, I believe it was, by developing and launching Stand Fast Baptist Bible Institute, or SBBI. That's what we would like to call our an enhanced Bible Institute. We've been having a Bible Institute in our church now for several years, but we want to take it to the next level by making it a program where people can pursue a program in a year's time. And I'll say more about that in a moment. So those are two ways that we want to pursue foundational discipleship, because we have to run the race with faith. We have to be appropriating the truths of God's Word for ourselves. Secondly, pursuing holiness. I've had a burden about a couple of areas, and these are going to be two things I'm going to preach on Sunday evenings over the course of this next year. First of all, holiness in the area of family relationships. We're going to be studying about that from the book of Proverbs. It'll be my last installment from Proverbs, my long-running series, Themes in Proverbs. We've talked about friends and neighbors and countrymen. And now we're going to talk about those family relationships. You know, Proverbs has a lot to say about the family. It has a lot to say about how parents should relate to their children, how children should relate to their parents. And these are important things. Sadly, many times, our lack of holiness is evident in our relationships in our homes. But then secondly, I also have a burden to do some teaching in the area of biblical modesty. I feel like this is time for me to address that particular topic, and so those are a couple of areas where I think as a church we should pursue holiness together this year. And then third, oops, I forgot to advance my slide. There you go. Go into the number three, pursuing greater power from prayer. Two ways that I'd like to do that. First of all, you know, we have this Saturday morning prayer time every second Saturday of the month. And so we usually have a pretty good turnout for men's breakfast, usually about 20 men or so. And then we'll oftentimes have 20 or 25 or 30 people come out for canvassing, and that's great. And And then in the middle, we have this prayer time, which has not been what I would call well attended. It's easy to find lots of other things to do on a Saturday morning, isn't it, than to pray. But folks, it's very important for us to prioritize prayer together. And so I'm going to renew the challenge that I gave last year. I believe that overall our second Saturday schedule has been successful. It has brought more people out to visitation, which was one of my major goals. And we've been able to work those three things in on one morning each month. Folks, we're talking about one morning per month of setting aside time in your schedule to serve God together with your church family. Is that a lot to ask? I don't really think it is. So I want to encourage you, make it a priority to come to prayer on Saturday morning, that second Saturday. We start at 9 a.m., we finish by 10. And join together in prayer with others in our church. And then secondly, we're beginning a new Sunday morning prayer ministry. We've been talking about the last few weeks. It's called 20 Praying Men. And we have an intention here with this ministry. We're going to start the Sunday after Super Goal Sunday. So that'd be the second Sunday in February, where men will start gathering in the auditorium here at 9 a.m. To pray until 9:20. So 20 men, 20 minutes. Of course, if there are more than 20 men that would like to be a part of that, that's great. I'd love to have 50 men or 100 men. Say, we don't have that many men. No, we don't have that many men right now, but what about if we prayed? So I would like to encourage men to be leaders in prayer. And I believe that if we will take that opportunity for intercession seriously, I believe we'll see God answer some prayers as men begin crying out to God together in prayer. Now, I also would love for this to build and to grow organically. And a couple of ways that it could grow is, first of all, it's entirely possible that there might be some men who want to show up earlier than 9 a.m. to pray. And that would be great. Okay, so I would be just tickled pink if that prayer time expanded by people coming even earlier to pray. I would also love to see, perhaps while men are praying in the auditorium, perhaps ladies are having a prayer time, or children with the children, or children are having their own prayer time, that others are also praying around this church at that same time for God's work to be done in our services that particular day. So I'm excited about this, and I want to encourage men to be a part of that. I know that I'm cutting into your Sunday morning sleep-in time. And I know that as a church family, we love our Sunday morning sleep-in time, which is why oftentimes people are running in the door at 9:50 for Sunday school, right? Isn't that where we live oftentimes? Many times because we stayed up really late on Saturday night. You know, I remember a verse of Scripture from the book of Joshua. In fact, why don't we just turn back there? I'm off my script now, but let's just go back to Joshua chapter number 1. And let me show you a verse here that God impressed upon my heart a few years ago. Let's see. Okay. Got to find it here. This is the danger of going off script. All right. Okay, Joshua 3, verse number 5. The people of Israel were getting ready to cross the Jordan River. So the next day was going to be a very big day. It was going to be a day when God did a mighty work in the midst of his people. But notice what Joshua said to the people of Israel in verse 5. He said unto the people, "Sanctify yourselves, Now, isn't that an interesting word? Weren't we just talking about that word, sanctify? What does that mean? It means set yourself apart to God. Okay? He says, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. So the Lord impacted my heart with that verse a few years ago about what I do with Saturday night. So I try to treat Saturday night different from other nights by setting aside time on Saturday night to prepare myself for the coming Lord's Day. Would you like to see God do wonders here at Calvary Baptist Church on the Lord's Day? Would you like to see Him do mighty works? I mean, the people of Israel, they were going to see God roll back the Jordan River. Is that a great miracle? Yes. Salvation of a soul is an even greater miracle. And so, if you're expecting to see God's mighty works on the next day, an appropriate response would be to prepare yourself the day before. Make sure you're ready, okay, that you're right with the Lord, that you're spiritually prepared so that you can come and see the mighty works of God. That's how the Lord helped to apply that to my own life a few years ago. I want to encourage you. It would be wise for us as believers in this church if we would maybe treat our Saturday evening a little bit different. Instead of just using it for fun or, you know, having a great time and staying up late watching TV or a movie or whatever it is that we like to do and then being dead dog tired on Sunday morning so we can barely stay awake in church, it would be perhaps a better approach for us to go out of our way to sanctify ourselves, set ourselves apart to God by drawing near to God in prayer and spiritual preparation and asking God to do things in our services the next day. And I believe if we would do that, we would see God's greater works amongst His people. All right, so there's a little challenge for you, but we want to make some time on Sunday mornings, a little earlier than normal, for this prayer ministry, pursuing greater power from prayer. And then finally, we also want to be pursuing the Great Commission. And one way that we're going to do that this year in our church is we are going to have a class on Wednesday nights about missions, philosophy and practice of missions. And this will start later in the year. It'll start probably toward the end of March or something like that. And we'll offer it for credit in our Bible Institute. It's going to be, a really neat opportunity for us as a church to study together what the work of missions is supposed to be and very practically, you know, how to apply that, how to evaluate missionaries, how to prioritize what mission works to support. These are the kinds of things that will be talked about in that class. But in conjunction with that, we want to give people opportunities to go on missions trips. And so we're trying to get some missions trips organized this year. We're going to be taking 9 adults to Ukraine in the month of April. I'm also looking at the possibility of taking a group to Thailand later in the year. And that's still just kind of in the works. It's not a for sure thing. And then our teens are going to do a missions trip this summer. It'll be just for the teen ministry. That will probably be a missions trip somewhere in the States or maybe Canada or something like that. But we want to have these mission trips opportunity because this will be a part of what we're focusing here on missions and giving people a practical opportunity to experience missions for themselves. So those are some things that we want to emphasize in the coming year. Now let me just share with you a few things more about the Bible Institute. And so let me just share the mission here with you. Standfast Baptist Bible Institute desires to partner with churches in the Mid-America region by providing their members a source of intensive biblical instruction that is affordable, academically accessible, and convenient for adults of all ages. And we hope that such a resource will encourage churches and believers to stand fast on God's Word against the evils of our day. So that just kind of sums up what we're wanting to do with this Bible Institute. I've explained this before, but I believe that churches have the primary responsibility to provide for the biblical instruction and the solid grounding of their people in God's Word, in the faith. And over the years, we have delegated some of that to the Christian colleges, and what a blessing Christian colleges have been. as a place where young people could go and they could get grounded in the Scripture at the same time they're studying other for other occupations or careers. But times are changing, options are narrowing, prices are increasing, people are looking more and more at alternatives to regular four-year college education. I believe in these days it is increasingly incumbent upon churches to consider alternatives to the present solutions for providing this kind of grounding to young adults. Those who are high school graduates, moving into that college and career age, that's especially where my burden lies, because that is a critical transitional time. And for many who walk out of the youth group at the age of 18 and they head up into the adult ministries of the church, that process of them being grounded, really grounded, is still underway. And so we want to provide and encourage young people. This is going to be a ministry of our church, and first and foremost, it's for the young adults of this church. But then we also believe there are other churches, good churches of like faith and practice with us in this area, where there are also young adults who need a similar opportunity. And so that's why we're seeking to launch this new ministry. The program will offer 1 and 2 year Bible diplomas. We're getting started with the first year, obviously, but we would like to have a second year beyond that. The year would be made up of 4 sessions per year. Those would be week-long sessions, and there would be 2 courses taught each session. One would be taught in the mornings, and one would be taught in the evenings. And the afternoon time would be open. And having one of the classes in the evenings would allow people, perhaps who have a work schedule, they can't make it to the morning class, they could at least take an evening class and work their way through the institute. It would just take twice as long, but we would rotate classes so they could get all the classes in the evenings over time. Now, these classes will be hosted at the camp, Amazing Grace Baptist Camp. So this is going to be a cooperative ministry with the camp. It's going to help the camp as well. And we're also going to be working to develop an online educational portal so that there's additional flexibility if people can't make it physically to every session. And the first year courses will include surveys of Old and New Testament, Bible doctrines, foundations, apologetics, and Christian disciplines. These are things that we all need. And many of these classes have already been developed and have already been taught in our church at one time or another. But we want to offer them in this more concentrated format. Here are some distinctives about the Bible Institute. All right, it will offer traditional classroom instruction. This is not going to be mainly an online educational opportunity or correspondence. This is going to be learning from a real teacher in a real classroom, being able to ask questions and get your questions answered, that kind of thing. Also, there'll be opportunities for social interaction. There at the camp, as people come and take classes, they'll be staying out there at the camp. A part of their costs will cover room and board for their time out there. But one of the most important things about a Christian college experience is being able to connect with other Christian young adults. And so we want young adults to have that opportunity to connect with each other, to have social interaction. That's very important. Third, we want to have an affordable cost. We're trying to keep this cost much lower than a comparable cost to go to college or some other type of a Bible Institute. Right now, we're aiming at $4,000 per year. We want it to be something that somebody who's going through that could pay for it themselves as they go. Okay, so each session would be $1,000, and just they can pay for it as they go along. We also want it to be academically accessible. We're structuring these courses to be accessible to all adults. So it's not going to be an intensive focus on testing and evaluation, that kind of thing. But we're going to focus primarily on an approach of solid teaching and completion of assignments. Those are going to be the main requirements, similar to what we've been doing in our Bible Institute here in our church. We're also going to have this schedule, which is convenient, I think, and it offers people flexibility about how they would work on that diploma. We've talked with the camp about some dates for the first year, so these are still maybe somewhat tentative, but These are some dates we've identified at this point of when we would have these first sessions. So you see there, we want to have our first session the week of August 31 to September 5th. So that gives us about 6 months to get this ministry off the ground. When we look at our budget later in the business meeting, you'll see that we have included this Bible Institute ministry in our budget for the first time. Well, let's talk about getting off to a good start in 2020 with some of the things that we've talked about this evening. How can you get off to a good start in your race for 2020? Well, first of all, I would encourage you to pursue quality time with God and His Word and in prayer every single day. That's one of the ways you pursue holiness, by pursuing the person of holiness, by drawing near to Him. Believer, you are not going to be able to run your race well in 2020 if you're not meeting with God on a daily basis. And so if you have not yet made this decision, I want to encourage you, make that decision that if you haven't been regular in your devotional time in the past, that you're going to be faithful with God in His Word and prayer every single day so that He can pour out grace into your life as you meet with Him, as you hear His voice in the Word. Another thing you can do, you can attend Sunday school on Super Goal Sunday, okay? And then keep on attending. I think it's very important. That extra hour of teaching time allows us to do a better job of grounding people in the faith. It's important, and so prioritize that. Men, you could sign up for the 20 Praying Men. There's a sign-up sheet in the back at the sign-up center, and then participate faithfully throughout the year. I know you may not be able to make it every single Sunday, but be faithful, be consistent, and join together with brothers in Christ to lift up the needs of people in our church in prayer. You can be faithful to the prayer meetings of the church. We have three, okay? Wednesday evening, second Saturday morning, this new Sunday morning ministry. Probably our Sunday evening prayer time will be absorbed and eclipsed by the Sunday morning. So, but we still have three times, okay, for corporate prayer together as a church family. You know, every member of this church should be faithfully, regularly participating in at least one of those prayer times. And so I know that some of you are doing other things on Wednesday night. We have our children's ministries and we have youth ministries going on, and those are all very important. But if you're not able to be a part of the prayer time on Wednesday night, then you should really make a point of getting involved in a different prayer time so that you can continue with God's people in prayers like we read about in Acts chapter 2. And then another thing you could do is you could enroll in Bible Institute courses. You could sign up to take that Wednesday evening missions course for credit in our institute. You can enroll in Bible Institute sessions at the camp in the fall. Those are some suggestions that I would encourage you to think about as we take a look at the road ahead. What do we want to do in 2020 here at Calvary Baptist Church? We want to run with patience the race that is set before us. But remember, we'll have to have faith. We'll have to have holiness. We'll have to have strength. God's strength through His grace. Those are the things that we need. I'm not going to give a regular invitation this evening. We're going to move into the business meeting here very shortly. But I thought that we would close out tonight by singing the song that we sang this morning.